You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
All right, our calling number is 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. You know, I forgot to open the chat room again, but it is now open. Now, if you're not familiar with the show, again, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. Now, last week's show, let me tell you what's on this week's show first. This week, we are talking about Kwanzaa versus Christmas. Yes, we're going to do a story about Kwanzaa versus Christmas as our main topic today. You know, people are saying we don't want Kwanzaa to take place at Christmas and all of that good stuff. So we're going to talk about that. We also have T-Boz Watkins from the group TLC. She has a new reality show on. We're going to talk about that and some possibly controversial statements that she made. I don't think they were about Chris Brown and Rihanna, but we'll talk about that. Also, we have some extras, some things that are in the news that we just want to talk about, and we have much more. So I just wanted to get started by telling you that and let you know that the chat room is now open, so you can join in, and you can call in 909-265-9189. Now, last week's show, we talked about filmmaker Spike Lee versus Django Unchained, the movie from the comments that Spike Lee made and how everyone reacted to Spike Lee. We'll talk about that some more. And we talked about GOP fake presidential candidate Herman Cain and his racism comments about the New York Times op-ed where he had some problems that was being said about Tim Scott from South Carolina. But beyond that, we had Black Holiday Classics. So if you want to check those out in the archives, they're in the archives from last week's show. I know we did it late in the week, but we're back on track. I want to welcome everyone who's been joining us week in and week out. We are really pleased that we have so many great comments and statements and stuff during the week. You know, we're going towards our new year. We're going to the new year, so we're going to kind of free for all a little bit today, but we have those things on tap. And I want to also add in that before I get started, let's do a couple of happy birthdays I missed. Legendary actor Denzel Washington turned 50-something this week. His movie Flight is still in theaters. I know we had that conversation on Black Crime. LeBron James, NBA great, and I'm going to say that, turns 28 today. And as you know, he was the NBA champ, won the MVP in the playoffs, Olympic gold medal, Sports Illustrated's Athlete of the Year, all of that good stuff. LeBron James turns 28. So I just wanted to start off the show with that. And my girl Vera Jones, who had a birthday. I'm not going to say your name, your age, Vera. Just wanted to make sure I said that. All right. So first thing I want to talk about before we really get started is, well, you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to woosah a little bit. We're going to have columnist Kai Sims come on. I know she's a little tied up, so we know we're going to have Kai in. Our commissioner is here today, so we're going to have her on in a second. Once I take a break, because I need to woosah by having a PSA first, and then we're going to go to talk about Django Unchained. Now, I would not talk about the movie per se last time on the show, but we did talk about Spike Lee's comments. This time, I want to talk a little bit about the movie since there were more comments about it and since the movie has already come out and it's, you know, number two at the box office. So I guess we'll take a break and then we'll talk about that a little bit. I just want to, again, thank you for joining in. For those on the line and those who are online, you can hit one on your phone if you want to join the program. Again, our number is 909-265-9189. You're listening to Black on Black Crime on S3 Radio and simulcast on ACN. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more Black on Black Crime. Yeah. So we'll be right back, and I want to welcome you and thank you for joining in on the program today. All right.
Columbine.
Virginia Tech.
Tucson.
Aurora.
Fort Hood. Oak Creek. Newtown.
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 How many more?
How many more?
How many more colleges?
How many more classrooms?
How many more movie theaters?
How many more houses of faith?
How many more shopping malls?
How many more street corners?
How many more?
How many more?
Enough.
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 Demand a plan.
Right now.
As a mom.
As a dad.
As a friend.
As a husband.
As a wife.
As an American.
As an American.
As an American.
As a human being.
For the children of Sandy Hook.
Demand a plan. No more lists of names. It's not too soon.
It's too late.
Now is the time.
Before we all know someone who loved someone on that list.
No more lists.
No more.
Who they might have been. No more.
If we had just done something yesterday.
It's time.
We can do better than this.
We can do better than this.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for our leaders to act.
Demand a plan. Right now.
Right now.
You! Demand it!
Enough.
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 Winning 2 Olympic gold medals for Team USA still doesn't feel real to me. Achieving my dream feels like a dream. I hope I can inspire people to take AT&T Pledge to never text and drive. My reason to pledge is for both of my family, my host family, and my family at home. Find your reason and take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. It can wait. Take the pledge now at itcanwait.com.
No white jeans after Labor Day. What are you, my grandmother?
I'll rock white jeans whenever I want. And with Tide Plus pleats, they'll stay white. Not whitish, not XL, not A-Crew. Whatever that is. White. That's my Tide. What's yours?
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. Your host, Jerome. We'll be back with, Kai and the commissioner. Kathleen is going to be here in a second, but before we get back to that, I just want to welcome you to the show. Our call-in number is 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. Of course, I just throw on some party music, New Year's Eve, time for folks to party, that kind of thing. So, enjoy. All right, so, this week, by the way, there's a lot of new laws that take in effect starting tomorrow. We're going to talk about that. We have, I did just run a PSA with Beyonce, Jamie Foxx, John Legend, Chris Rock, Carmelo Anthony, and Chris Paul. The PSA was named Demand a Plan for the Gun Violence Response to the Shooting in Sandy Hook Elementary School. So the short PSA, it wasn't really that short, but the short PSA opens with the celebrities naming the mass shootings. And just ask the question, how many more? So we wanted to play that as a PSA to start off the show, just to let you know. They're putting in work. I know as we talk about stars and things that's going on in the world, that there are some serious things going on. So we want to make sure that we put that on Black on Black Crime. That is not a Black on Black Crime, by the way. Just remember, the premise of the program is that Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, analyze other black people in areas they wouldn't do anyone else. So last week we talked about the movie Django Unchained, that movie. Now, it's Quentin Tarantino's spaghetti western blaxploitation mashup. It came in second place in the weekend's box office with $30.7 million. It was the Weinstein Company's film. I don't know why that's important, but it was about a slave-turned-bounty hunter who, with the help of his mentor, sets out to rescue his wife from a brutal Mississippi plantation owner. Actor, singer Jamie Foxx stars in the film as the main character, Django. Now, during last week's show, we had, who was it? We had Spike Lee and some other folks, you know, make some comments about how they felt about a spaghetti Western type of slavery movie. Now, Antoine Fuqua, who was the director of Training Day and Brooklyn's Finest, is the latest Hollywood figure to weigh in on whatever they consider to be the controversy around Spike Lee's comment. Now, Fuqua said, if you don't know who he is, he also did, I think he directed Book of Eli, if I'm not mistaken, and he definitely did the movie Author, which I really like. It's a movie that he did with no black actors, but anyway, it was about the Knight of the Round Table kind of thing, it's Author. So he said regarding Lee's statement that he found, Spike Lee said that he found the movie disrespectful. Antoine said that if you disagree with the way a colleague did something, call him up, invite him out for coffee and talk about it, but don't do it publicly. Now, I must say that Antoine Fuqua considers Quentin Tarantino a friend of his and all of that good stuff. And, you know, we talked about this on the show last time. It's okay to go defending your friends and all of that, but Spike has a legitimate complaint when he says that he does not want to watch it. He didn't bash the film, get off it, stop making controversy where there is not the controversy for it. But, you know, that's not what we do here on Black on Black Crime. So, Antoine, I don't think that was a Black on Black Crime, but I'll have to put that out there. So let me go to our commissioner. Let's go to Kathleen, and let's ask if that is a Black on Black Crime. Let's see if Kathleen's available. Kathleen,
Hi.
What do you think about that? How are you?
I'm great. Thanks. Well, actually, yeah, I'm okay.
okay.
I do think that's a black on black crime. Because, yeah, I know.
Uh-huh. No, I'm just saying. Because I just didn't. He's defending Quentin Tarantino, where Spike Lee just said he found it disrespectful and he's not going to watch it. But he wasn't going to bash the film because he's never seen it.
I was asking from
Antoine Fuqua's
right.
perspective, yeah.
Yeah, I do think that's a black on black crime committed by Antoine Fuqua against Spike Lee. I don't think that he would have said that about a white, if Spike Lee were a white guy, I don't think he would have said the same thing. Call him up. Take him out to lunch.
Oh, right.
That's what I'm talking about. I thought that's what you were asking me.
Yeah, and that's what I was asking. You know, I didn't think about it from that. You're right. That is a black-on-black crime because although Antoine Fuqua says he talked to Jamie Foxx and he's friends with him, so is Spike Lee, and Spike Lee talked to him. So he was bashing them. He was just saying that he's not watching the movie, and they made it a race issue. It's funny how black folks go to defense of people when they feel like you must be offending my friend. But they wouldn't have did that if somebody was bashing Spike Lee.
That's right.
You're right. That is a black on black. See, that backdoored me into a black on black crime. I didn't even see that coming. Good looking. See, that's why you're the commissioner of this program. And that's why I held out and had to say what I had to say first. But although, you know, I did listen to Rolanda Watts's program where she had Reginald Hudlin, who was a producer on the movie, on her program, and he explained it. He produced the movie, and he talked about Quentin Tarantino, and he often had conversations, and they're friends apparently, and he said that they would have conversations, and he asked Reginald Hudlin, what do you think about slavery movies, and he named some, and Reginald Hudlin just said, I can't get with any of them. He said, I don't watch them. They're all horrible, and they're all lopsided. He said, now, if you make a slavery movie from the side of Gladiator, you know, that would be different because you're putting a hero on another side. And he said, 5 years later, Quentin Tarantino comes to him with this script, calls him. He went by his house. He read it, and it put this Western feel onto the program, so because you know who the good guys are and the bad guys are in the Western. So from Reginald Hudlin's perspective, he said it was a great script because it wasn't meant to be an actual slavery recant. But if you watch any kind of slavery films, it's either to feel sorry for or, you know, the poor little people couldn't get out of it. But this time, you know, when he says they're making fun of, you know, the Klan, like, how come you can't see out of those little holes, you know, when they're running in the sheets and stuff, it makes you think you can't really see out of those things, you know. And so he said they were making light of it from that perspective. But it was clearly through the movie, you'll see who the hero and the villain is because of how they shoot Western. So that was kind of the main premise up from Reginald Hudlin. So it gives me a different look at it. But in addition to that, Will Smith was in mind for the title lead of this movie. Now, last spring, Smith formerly, they said, was offered the role, but declined it because he was doing Men in Black 3. He said, I really came close. It was one of the most amazing screenplays I've ever read, said Smith. He said, I was in the middle of Men in Black, and Tarantino was ready to go. I just couldn't sit down with him and get through the issues, but I didn't want to hold him up. He said, it's a genius screenplay. And then if Quentin Tarantino was black, I would think this was a black-on-black crime. Quentin Tarantino's response recently to that was, he didn't write a lead role in the movie for anyone. Quentin Tarantino said he chose Jamie Foxx to play the lead role after talking to 6 different actors, including Will Smith. So he comes out to shoot down Will Smith because people are saying, well, wasn't Will Smith chosen for that role? And he said no. Now I really have a problem with Quentin Tarantino. See where that went? A pendulum swing one side back to the other. I wasn't taking a shot at him until he came out and took a shot at Will Smith. Now his friends need to come out and defend him on that. That would just be my opinion.
So he said he wrote the lead for Jamie Foxx, is what he's saying?
Well, he's saying he didn't write it for anyone. So, you know, Reginald Hudlin also said that. He said when they were shopping the movie that they just pretty much told them, you can expect a no-name guy in this. We're not trying to sell the movie to get sell it by saying we have these main A-list celebrities on here for the movie, so please buy into it. He said that wasn't their tactic in selling the movie. But he didn't have to come out and say, no, Will Smith wasn't chosen.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. So he affirmed, yeah, he kind of just came out against that. So anyway, I was when I was reading the story, I kept digging deeper into it and just saying that from all accounts, even from Reginald Hudlin's perspective and other people who've seen the movie, said it's a good movie, but I have to take some issues with, you know, all of this behind-the-scenes play in it. It's just kind of getting on my nerves a little bit. So I just thought I'd address it because we did it on the last show, and I thought we'd start off by tackling some of the issues on this movie, Django.
Yeah.
Now, do you plan on seeing it?
I actually hate slave movies.
Are you taking Spike's side on this one?
I'm not. That's not a side. That's my side.
No, that's all he said, though. He said he wasn't going to see the movie. And this is where this all started from.
Yeah.
It was just one statement like that.
Right.
So.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
I don't, you know, like I think I mentioned to you that Roots was on over the weekend, and I wouldn't even pause on BET while I saw Roots was on. I know it's terrible. Don't write me any letters.
Yeah, you can write me. Now you're listening to Black All Black Crime on ACN and on Esprit Radio. Send your comments to comments@soulofsyracuse.com, and I will delete them over there because I don't care. I had to question that. You know, we're going to talk about this Kwanzaa versus Christmas thing as our main topic, but, you know, it was something to be said about why BET would choose to play Roots for Christmas.
Hello.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, a preacher's wife would have been great. You know, any movie. Didn't we go through Claudine, a list? I'd have been happier with Claudine. So, yeah, I didn't want to go through the movie.
They could have played Which Way's Up for all I care.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I like Richard Pryor. So
Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby, one of that Bill Cosby movie with Harry Belafonte. Anyone.
Roots on a Loop is what it was. That's what BET was.
Yeah. Roots. They just play Well, Guys Can't Jump, anything.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I'm just saying. not as far as that show is concerned, but I understand the point, but I still think that they could have done something else. I think BET, I don't know what to say about them. It's very stereotypical, BET is. Play Roots and then Roots the Next Generation, and then who thinks that that's, okay, you know what? This is not going to be a black-on-black crime, but let me tell you this. I don't think BET have enough black people in programming at BET. That's my thought, not decision makers. And you know how I can tell? Because they played Roots on Christmas.
Very placating. Let me pat them on the head. Here, give them Roots.
Yeah, because you know what? Watch Roots. They'll love this. They love it.
And not only watch Roots, but watch Roots all day, every day, while all your kids are home. This is what I want them to be sucking up over Christmas. This is what not like I have a problem with Roots, but, you know, hey, it's Black History Month.
You don't have to defend Roots. Like, okay, yeah, Black History Month, I'm not saying that you have to play Roots during that time, but I'm just saying Christmas, what does Christmas and Roots have to do with each other?
Well, I'm sure we could find a whole lot to talk about around that.
Never mind, because you know what? We're not going to get in trouble with playing with slavery movies today. But I just want to remind everyone, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. Our calling number is 909-265-9189. You can join the program. We're just kind of going over the Django movie. It was number 2 in the theaters with $37.7 million, is how much they made. And I don't know, I didn't see it. So if you want to call in, I'm hearing that it was a pretty good movie. And even one of the callers on another show that I listened to saw it twice and said it was a good movie. So I don't know. I'm not judging it. It was just on.
Let me ask you, can I ask a question, Jerome? Do we know that figure, you said 30.7 million, how many, mm-hmm. are those predominantly black viewers, moviegoers, or is this a mixed audience or what?
That would be a black-on-black crime. We don't sift black people on this program, but we don't know. It's just their Weekend Box Office numbers. It is by their SoundScan Nielsen numbers. So it's what gives them their regular ratings.
Okay.
You know what one of the things that I found out over the last couple of days is, you know, and just doing weekend review news and looking at a lot of stuff, did you know that Tyler Perry's movie, don't care if I bash Tyler Perry or not, but you know Tyler Perry's movie, what was the detective movie? What was it?
Alex Cross,
yes. That movie bombed at the box office. I mean, it was under, put it this way, they made under $10 million less than it cost to make the movie. They lost about $10 million on that.
Yeah.
Just wanted to, not that
I had heard that. And what they, you know, and I saw it. I saw the movie.
Was it a good movie?
It wasn't terrible. It was a good, you know, it was one of those action mystery, you know, kidnap vigilante slash cop, you know, kind of movie. So, for that kind of a movie, it wasn't terrible. But go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I was going to crack a joke. I guess I shouldn't. I was going to say without the slavery backdrop, but that was Django that we're talking about. But go ahead.
I wonder about that because if you let Tyler Perry open a movie, he's going to hit in the top five. you know, whatever movie he produces and puts out, Why Did I Get Married, and Diary of a Mad Black Woman, all those Madea, anything Madea, he's going to hit in the top five as far as movie earnings over on the opening weekend. So it's interesting that a movie that he's starring in a lead role, makes under $10 million, or, you know, around the $10 million mark. Very interesting to me.
No, it lost about $10 million so far.
Oh, lost,
so,
yeah. So,
yeah, they didn't make it.
And I don't know if they're going to make it up in DVD sales or whatever. But it's interesting. But people often say that he's not the best actor when he's not Madea.
Well, I'm not going to bash him, but I'll say this. Since he starred in a movie, and it technically wasn't his movie. He was put in someone else's movie. So he starred in a movie that he didn't produce, or he may have had production credit on it, but it wasn't his movie.
Right.
And so, yeah, and so that's interesting that he can't draw the audience, but when he makes a movie, he has a certain niche audience that that is pretty successful for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's my point. When he produces one, and he's always in his movies, you know? And I was not bashing him. I'm not saying that he...
No, I know you weren't.
Yeah.
I had to run a disclaimer that I wasn't. Because,
yeah,
you know, I'm not a big Tyler Perry fan.
Oh, and I am. I'm a huge Tyler Perry fan. There's not much that he can put out that I don't see. I don't think anything that he puts out that I haven't seen. All the plays... You know, I buy all the plays. And shout out to Melanie Daniels. You did a fabulous job, if you're listening. She was in his most recent play, Aunt Bam. And she's a ministry leader of the music ministry at my church.
Oh, cool.
And and I looked up, I was watching it, and I was like, wait, is that Melanie?
Oh, that's
so,
cool.
But anyway, his stuff is great. I watch it, even, you know, whatever. I think he's extremely talented. But, yeah, the Alex Cross, they said they were concerned about that and whether or not he would be a draw as the lead actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
and,
he did a good job, actually.
And I'm sure it, because a lot of things go into factor in, you know, movies. It's the marketing and how many theaters and all of that stuff. So who knows how long, how that worked out. I know... The most unsuccessful, I guess that's a word, but the film that did the absolute worst this year is this movie called Playback with Kristen Slater. And so the movie, it's like a horror film. It had 1 week in the movie theater and grossed $264. This is a movie called Playback. Yeah.
Did you say
200? 200. So the movie, which played from, $264. So from March 16th to the 22nd, calculations show that approximately 33 people bought tickets to that movie. And the estimated budget of the movie was $7.5 million.
Which movie was it?
It's called, I know, that's why nobody knows what movie it is. It's called Playback, and it's with... Johnny Picard from Make It or Break It, never heard of him, and Toby Hemingway from The Black Swan. And that budget was $7.5 million. And in one theater, they got 33 people and pulled it. $264. Okay, just thought
I'd share that. I think I'm making more than that on...
You make more than that in bootlegs, so I just wanted to say that. Although
a movie I wrote, and nobody even knows I wrote a movie.
I was gonna say, you know what? You don't even have to worry about that. It's kind of like, you know, regardless you put out a movie or not, you can sell records and tapes at the back of your car and make about that kind of money. But they paid them $7.5 million.
But did they lose $254 after they made that to $7.5 million, or did they lose those?
That I don't know. I just want to let you know. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. This is Black All Black Crime. We have Commissioner Kathleen on, and this is Jerome. We'll be back after this message.
Coming January 1st, T-Boss had fame and fortune, but life stopped her in her tracks.
She had to learn how to walk again, talk again.
She's reinvented herself before.
If we lose this opportunity, it's never coming around again.
But this time, it's going to take more than TLC.
I'm going to make sure she gets back out there.
I forgot who I am.
T-Boss premieres Tuesday, January 1st at 8, followed by the premiere of The Sisterhood at 9, part of TLC's all-new New Year.
All right, family photo.
Charlie, stop punching your brother.
He asked me to.
Sarah, stop texting and look at your dad.
I can get the things away.
Yeah, well, just look at your dad so you can get the shot.
Call me a ninja.
Got it.
What? Okay, wait.
Yeah, I got it. Come here.
Nobody move, especially you, Charlie.
Let's go.
Okay. How'd you do that?
Automagically.
Let's see. Combine pictures with Best Face on the new Samsung Note 2, available at all major carriers.
So has anybody actually started saving for college yet?
No, oh, not me.
No, you got time.
Oh, no, we actually started.
You have?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. We figure you start saving a little now, or you'll borrow a lot later on.
Yeah, but how did you even know where to start?
Oh, I found out about the Gerber Life College Plan.
Call now for free information on the Gerber Life College Plan. It's easy.
No matter what happens, we get guaranteed safe growth.
So when she's ready for college, the money will be there.
And it doesn't take a lot of money to get started.
For as little as $10 a week, you can start saving for college and get guaranteed growth. Just call now.
Toyota Prius. Those who get it, get it.
What if you have potatoes, but you've got a meat and potatoes guy? Pour chunky sirloin burger soup over those mashed potatoes, and dinner is served. 4 minutes, around $4. Campbell's Chunky. It's amazing what soup can do.
Alright, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. You can dial in, you can join us at 909-265-9189. We're here on Mondays on ACN and on ESPN Radio. Just remember, hey, you can be a part of the program. You can send us emails or hit us up in chat. We have Commissioner Kathleen on. How are you doing, Kathleen?
I'm doing good, thanks, Darrell.
Okay, and you know, so we're... You what?
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, we're coming close. We're coming close. You're rushing into the new year. And so, you know, I think we have Kai on, but Kai, if you're ready, you can hit one and we'll bring you on as well. So I just want to remind you on our main topic is this Kwanzaa versus Christmas thing. We're going to see if this is a black-on-black crime because I kept hearing – you know, and reading stories about, you know, people saying that they're not going to take Kwanzaa in place of Christmas and all of that stuff. So, you know, we have to see how that goes. But let's bring in columnist and author Kai Sins onto the program. Hey, Kai, how are you?
Hello. Happy New Year. Good morning. Good afternoon. Is it what evening?
No. We're gonna have to check Kai and those. What was it? Those that story I did about the donuts with alcohol in them. Did you have any donuts?
I could use one of those right now. I'm working on my patience. because I'm still sitting in this long line.
Okay.
My fault.
No, you're fine. We just have to make sure you're okay. So since you were under the weather, we just want to check and make sure that you're doing better, feeling better.
I am. I'm breathing a little better. I actually, sure. It must have been you guys' voices or something. Still a little congested, but
it sounds so much better.
Thank you. I'm not blowing my nose as much. So I'm getting
okay.
There.
I don't know about Kathleen, but you sounded just fine to me. I just want to tell you that. That's just
aww.
Me being a guy. Hey, you know what?
Christmas list.
Is that Black
yeah.
on Black
and
Crime?
And Fonda list.
Sure isn't.
Are you telling me out and saying, I don't know about Kathleen? Is that a Black on Black Crime?
No, she said you sound better. That's a woman compliment to another. But I said the raspy voice was kind of working for everybody else, for our male audience. So I just want to tell you the demographic that was working. So I'm not trying to I'm not trying to wish a cold on anybody. I'm just saying that didn't hurt you.
All
right.
Well, you are on the Christmas and the Kwanzaa list for that.
Thank you very much. Because we still, we're in our last day at Kwanzaa, so hopefully you're shopping. Or you shouldn't be. It's not a gift day, is it? Okay. Now, President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle had a message for Kwanzaa for the Afrocentric holiday Kwanzaa for the first time. They released a statement this week commemorating Kwanzaa from the White House. Now, here's the message.
Wow,
Michelle and
awesome.
I know, it was actually pretty cool. He said, Michelle and I extend our warm thoughts and best wishes to all of those celebrating Kwanzaa this season. Today marks the first day of a long week celebration of African-American history and culture through the seven principles of Kwanzaa: unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. To many, Kwanzaa serves as a time of reflection, of taking lessons learned from our past and looking forward to a more promising tomorrow. It reminds us that though there is so much to be thankful for, we must recommit ourselves to building a country where all Americans have opportunities to achieve dreams as families across America lights the Canara, I guess is what it's called. Today, in spirit of unity, our family extends our prayers and well wishes during this season. Isn't that cool? From the president.
That is so cool.
I know. You know what?
I like him more and more.
I know. He just keeps doing more and more stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, the problem is that when we don't know that they extend these kind of greetings and wishes, people start
right.
making up stories about who they think the president is. And so
right.
that's always a problem. I know Kai yeah. fights that, doing other shows about people bashing the president, right? Right, Kathleen?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that's my president. I voted
right.
for him. You know,
right.
I just want to be clear. That's my president right here. That's my president.
Yeah. Yeah.
All I'm saying, you can claim.
I don't think we ever had a message from the White House about Kwanzaa.
I don't think a lot of people acknowledge Kwanzaa, but I'm just, okay. So while I'm doing this, Kwanzaa, which is meant to honor and uphold African culture amongst Black Americans, was first celebrated in 1966. It was observed by an estimated 2 million Americans, and the National Retail Federation states that about 1.6% of the American population, or 4.7 million people, plan to celebrate Kwanzaa this year. And that's from people who spend money. Like, that's the retailers saying 4.7. So people are celebrating Kwanzaa.
Mm.
Just to make sure I put that out.
I'm surprised they get very pissed off at me when I say Merry Christmas, and they're like, Happy Kwanzaa and Kuku
yeah.
Gari, or what was the other thing with it? Hari Gari? No, I'm going to tell you in a minute. I'm going to look it up.
Hafaragani.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
She
very welcome.
She'll know.
And I'm very upset with me, and I was
yeah.
excited.
All right, so let's
but
talk.
But you know
let's
what's cool about that also?
Uh-huh.
What's really cool about that, I don't want to, expose my 25 years of life, you know, but we actually learned about that when I was a baby doing African dance.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, it wasn't popular, but what was really cool is I was actually in the store, and I heard this lady asking her son, who I think was maybe 9 or 10, he wanted a video game. And she said, well, is that what you're expecting for your Kwanzaa gift? And I was like, oh, wow, they're celebrating Kwanzaa. I thought that was really cool. And, you know, it's great that even people who aren't aware of what it is, by the president sending out that message, even if you don't celebrate it, it's, you know, that might make people just more interested in what is Kwanzaa, you know, and get more and become more informed about it.
Absolutely.
Okay, I think that's really cool.
I did.
Right.
Too. Really awesome.
And for the people who keep comparing Kwanzaa to Christmas is kind of where I was going with that, because I kept hearing and seeing comments of people fighting between the two. So let's just say Kwanzaa is a non-religious holiday, right? It's an African-American
mm-hmm.
cultural celebration created in 1966 by Dr. Mulina Karenge. I think that's
mm-hmm.
how you pronounce the name, celebrated from December 26th to January 1st. The word Kwanzaa means first fruits and stems from the time of the year when African communities came together to celebrate successful harvest. The harvesting from Dr. Karenge envisioned consisted of the African-American community coming together to celebrate culture, achievement, coupled with
mm-hmm.
commemoration of the past and recommitting to higher ideas. So Dr. Karenge said
mm-hmm.
in 2006 in a speech, close to 28 million people celebrated Kwanzaa internationally. It's funny how people internationally will celebrate stuff that actually started here and we don't celebrate it
as much. Well, and, you know, too, it takes, since it's not so much commercialism in Kwanzaa, it's actually about being selfless. You're concentrating on making handmade gifts or, you know, not the traditional gifts you can go out and buy, and it's actually more about giving than expecting to receive. So, you know, I love that part of it, too. It takes the selfishness out of the season, you know, which is, I'm just really happy to see how far it's come and how much more recognized it is. I think that's really awesome. Not to take anything away from Hanukkah and Christmas and all that.
Okay,
but, you know.
You don't have to do that. It's black on black crime. See, that's what we do. And I want to say this because a part of the early part of the program, we talked about Django again, right, and because the movie actually
mm-hmm.
came out. And Anthony Farqua came out. And by the way, he's married to Layla Richard. That's the only reason I remember who he is.
Oh, yeah.
But,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, he came out in defense of Quentin Tarantino because of Spike Lee's comments. And that is a black-on-black crime. Like, the fact is that if that's your friend, if the white guy is your friend, you just don't go against the black guy because that's your friend. He didn't say anything about Quentin Tarantino. He said something about not watching the movie. That was a black-on-black crime earlier. But anyway, well, we'll let Kai have her say in this, because since you didn't get to add in.
Mm-hmm.
I'll quickly say what happened. Anton Farqua just came out to say that Spike Lee was pretty much, he said, if you disagree with a colleague, the way the colleague did something, call him up and take him out for coffee and talk about it, but don't do it publicly. And he said that Spike Lee was kind of wrong for saying that he thought the movie was disrespectful. The commissioner and I already deemed that to be a black-on-black crime, by the way.
Really?
He had no reason. What is that guy's name? When Clint Eastwood said something about the president, did you see white folks or black folks running out to defend Clint Eastwood?
Because he doesn't have any support. No, I'm just joking. Just joking, Mr. Eastwood.
This is true. Okay, the commission must be on mute because she didn't flag either one of us. So we're gonna go with that.
Well, the only thing I wanted to say was that I've had a lot of people tell me that they are going to see, what's the name of the movie? something worth, whatever that movie is, the baseball movie. And I said, if you're going to go, to, you're going to support that Clint Eastwood movie after what he did to the president? They're like, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Fever Pitch or whatever that movie was.
Yeah.
Bootleg.
I was not going to see it, not only because he didn't support the president, but it just didn't look like a good movie.
And, yeah, I can't support crazy either. So that's just my thing.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Again, I've watched a lot of things on bootleg that I wouldn't. Did I say that on radio?
Oh, for shame.
I have passed people watching bootlegs before. I think we talked about the movie.
I didn't hear it.
Okay, yeah, thanks. Thank you. As my attorney, Kathleen, did not hear it. Now let's go to some internet comments. We're talking about Kwanzaa versus Christmas. Now, I saw this one internet comment from the South Oakland NAACP president, Gwen Thomas. She said, "It is merely a positive effort for us to embrace our culture, whether you're from Kenya or Sierra Leone. Kwanzaa is not supposed to replace Christmas. I have celebrated with my family and friends for 19 years. The seven principles are designed to pull our communities together to support each other economically, mentally, spiritually, and all while recognizing that our motherland is rich with culture, natural resources, precious stones, and holy waters like the Nile, which demonstrates the backbone with what we build in Africa." And so she said, "I know it is the hardest thing for some African Americans to do is to stick together on much of anything, but it's a practice that is humbling." She said, "You have to have a spiritual consciousness to want to share, to learn, and to love our people. If your mind is negative and your heart is hardened, you'll find its purpose unnecessary." She said, "This takes nothing away from Christmas or from my Christian beliefs," is what she said, "but enhances my ministry of helping uplift our community. Feel free to put your own twist on Kwanzaa. Stay open-minded and have a happy Kwanzaa." So I thought that was
very well written.
But one of the other
personally think that's a black-on-black crime.
You think that is?
Yeah, I think
that
comment about it's hard for black people to come together on anything.
I'm going to have to disagree with both
of you
on
that.
Here's why I'm going to have to disagree.
It's kind of true, but, you know.
Well, here's why I'm going to have to disagree. I'm just going to say the reason that we do black-on-black crime is because people actually commit them. So since people commit black-on-black crime, we have to acknowledge that some are being committed. And so the thing about sticking together, it was her statement from the NAACP is saying that that's a part of what their purpose is to making sure that people stick together. So she's saying, since we don't stick together on much of anything, it is a humbling practice. She's making that an internal statement to what her and her family is doing. Like, so I don't take that. Mm-hmm. I don't take that as black people across the board. That's just me. Okay. I see you two disagree. So let me go to the next comment. So I know. So here's the other internet comment. It says, "What about Kwanzaa upholds African heritage, especially since the language of Kwanzaa is Swahili, a language that most if not all black people brought to the U.S. never spoke." And so the person is saying, why is Swahili a part of Kwanzaa? So our next comment says, "Swahili is the language spoken of most Africans throughout the diaspora worldwide. That's why it was a chosen language. Learn about yourself, brother," is what that comment said. Now, they're bashing each other, so I don't really have to go through this.
Yeah.
I mean,
that could have been an innocent question, but yeah.
No, wow. I don't think the person meant it in an innocent way, because they said, "What about Kwanzaa upholds African heritage?" Like, it was a sarcastic way of saying
Swahili's not
related. But Swahili is related.
Right.
A lot of nations speak a version of Swahili.
Don't we all? A version.
We don't speak English either.
Okay, black on black crime.
We speak Latin, Swahili.
I'm just saying.
No, don't just say that, because you can't do that on this program. By the way, you're listening to Black on Black Crime, although the commissioner just committed one. You can call in. You can join us. Anyone on the line, you can hit 1 to join the program. If you're not on the line, our number is 909-265-9189. You can join in or join us in the chat room as we read those read those comments. Now, all I'm saying with this, Kathleen, is that, yes, we do speak a lot. We speak a lot of different dialects in language, but how language works, as long as you understand what I'm saying, get over it. So I don't know why
you know what I'm saying.
Word.
Word to the mother.
Now Kathleen's a little quiet because now she wanted to put on her bougie shoes, and so she wanted to actually dog us out for our language.
I'm just
joking. I'm not gonna mute you.
Because my point in saying that is why not use an African language to describe Kwanzaa?
Right.
I mean, you could come over here and use English. We didn't speak English either. You know, so it's safer for us to get Swahili and use something to introduce, you know, the whole point is bringing us back to our roots and introducing some African principles, something from our history. So why would we describe our history that is not from this land in words that are English? So we give the translation, but why not use Swahili? Why say he should have, you know, why you use Swahili? What most Africans didn't speak. We didn't speak English either. So come on. That's why I was defending the use of the African language.
Okay, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I know we heard a little noise in there. I think we're just having technical difficulties on the board. Since it's kind of holiday season, who knows who's at work? You know, so we are.
You know what? Thankfully, I'm going to have to log off for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
My number's up next. Thank gosh.
Oh, man. Kai, don't
I've
say
only
your number's
been in
up.
This line for a long time.
Well,
going to call you. I'm going to call back in like 10 minutes.
Okay, and we'll be on another topic, but you can call back in and have fun.
Okay.
All righty.
Oh, yeah, it's always fun at the DMV, I tell you.
Oh, no. We want DMV back.
Yeah.
Have fun.
So let me say, hopefully I'll call back in 10 minutes.
Oh, gosh, it is the DMV. We'll catch you before the end of the show. We'll have to add you back in. All right.
Okay. All right. Kai. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So Kathleen, we've just been abandoned by Kai. She's putting us on hold, by the way.
I see that. But that's okay. We'll hold it down for you, Kai. No worries, girl. We got you.
Yeah, you know what? We'll hold it down for Kai today. So we just wanted to let you know our main topic today on the show is the Christmas versus Kwanzaa. And like I said, it's not a big deal. They're two different. It's funny, like we can't have two different holiday celebrations at this around the same time because Kwanzaa starts after Christmas. You know, kind of like St. Patrick's Day, Valentine's Day. It just happened to be next to Christmas, so let it go, people. It's not that serious.
Yeah, because I think the insinuation that comes from the people who tell me, who, you know, if I say Merry Christmas to them and they send me back Habari Gari and Happy Kwanzaa, the undertone now, it used to be very above board.
Mm-hmm.
The undertone is, why are you celebrating that? We're on Black on Black Crime. Why are you celebrating that white holiday? Why are you involved in that holiday that has nothing to do with some, you know, this, that, the other? The religion, it's a white man's religion and all. That's the way that a lot of Black people who consider themselves conscious would use the celebration of Kwanzaa, against people who were still saying Merry Christmas to them. So, so there was a delineation saying, okay, well, now that we have Kwanzaa, we should no longer be celebrating Christmas. It's just a commercial, this, that, the other kind of holiday. And the only reason you would be involved in that as a Black person is if you're not conscious. And that's the way it was used for years. And I'm assuming that's why you brought this to Black on Black Crime?
Well, you know, it, like I said, it was just kind of, I kept seeing a lot of ugliness go back and forth when people make comments, and it's funny how people fight for status quo even though they complain about status quo, right? We complain that Christmas is not about Christianity anymore, it's about gifts and some guy in a red suit and all this other stuff, and then once that, you know, that fight is still going on, but just because black people did something different, now people want to criticize that. Like, and so every time there's any kind of black culture or something Afrocentric in this country, people have a problem with it. And so that's why I brought it up, because that was kind of a fight on primarily black websites and stuff. It didn't really hit mainstream America, but it was just kind of one of those things that I thought, okay, well, we probably should talk about this just because we're in the holiday season. We're going into a new year. Get it off your chest. Let it go. Just like today, we are talking about T-Boz from the group TLC made some comments about Chris Brown and Rihanna, but we're going to talk about her show. I actually have a clip or a preview of her show that we're going to play coming up after the next break, but just wanted to make sure I threw that out there. But you don't have to always take stuff into the new year when you know that it's silly to begin with. So that's why I brought up that subject for Kwanzaa Christmas, because it just seemed to be silly to me. Nothing serious, just silly. And more importantly, I thought the president's letter was the bomb. I want to let everybody know, he acknowledged, so that when people say the president, yeah, when people say, because major media didn't pick it up, that he had a Kwanzaa announcement, nobody covered it. So we covered it here. So I thought that was really cool.
That's hot.
I know. See, you know what? And so every now and then we do get it right. What do you say?
Often. Often.
Yeah. Well, I would say we often do get it right, you know. So just wanted to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on ACN on S3 Radio. You can join in. Our call-in number, 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with more Black on Black Crime. We have Commissioner Kathleen on with us. Columnist and author Ty is going to be back, you know, after she take care of her business. Can I say business, Kathleen? Is that right?
It's business. It's supposed to be business.
Okay. Black on Black Crime. We'll be back.
Listen to text message.
You still coming?
Call Sharon.
Hey, where are you?
Is that Charlie? Tell her to stay away.
You need directions?
No, I'm good.
That's your plan.
Oh, I do.
Luxury well chosen. The 2012 Lincoln MKX.
Where does a great night out get even better? At the new Ruby Tuesday, with our freshly made lobster tail and steakhouse sirloin for only $14.99. Enjoy the tempting combination of sweet lobster paired with a perfectly seasoned sirloin, cooked just the way you like it, and served with a free garden bar, all for only $14.99. But join us soon. A pairing this perfect won't last forever. The new Ruby Tuesday.
Dear Honda, thanks for getting my friend Lisa a deal on her Odyssey at your holiday sales event. She's got 5 boys, so the Bluetooth comes in handy.
I have to kill.
Plus, it's got a rear-view camera and seating for the ladies.
Christmas time in Holly Queens. Mom's cooking chicken and collard greens.
More happiness and standard features of every Honda during Happy Honda Days. Get a great deal on the 2013 Odyssey at your Honda dealer.
You want to eat all that cereal? Bonnie, what you doing over there?
Nothing.
Let me get that. I've got to keep on.
Check this out.
Oh, my goodness. I told you.
The new Galaxy Note 2. Available at all major carriers.
Introducing the Mercedes-Benz convertible that controls the wind and keeps you comfortable in any season. The E-Cabriolet, newest member of the amazing E-Class family. The thrill of opening it up, that is what drives us.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. You are, hey, in New Year's Eve kind of spirit, so, you know, we had to do a little message for you. So since you're there, we're here, you know, all of that good stuff. Let me bring back in our commissioner, Kathleen. How are you, Kathleen?
I'm good, thanks. Oh, how you doing?
I'm good, I'm good. And momentarily, Kai will be joining us. You heard stuff, great. But we're not gonna speak about that. Tell nobody. I want to say hey to Miss Quiet Storm, who was on live. You know, you can join us anytime and check out her program. Go on BTR, Miss Quiet Storm. Some great shows. You know, I'm often on there, but I try to keep it low. She, you know what, Kathleen? She treats me like you treat me. Like I can't go on and just listen to either show, which without you opening my mic.
Well, that's because you're co-host.
I'm honorary.
Your co-host and guest and everything else.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so let's open up Miss Quiet Storm's mic. Hey, how are you?
Well, I'm fine. Oh, thank you. Happy New Year, everyone. I'm actually at work, and I'm meeting someone for lunch, so I got to go in a minute. But, you know, I'm going to, in my defense, there is a reason when he comes on my show, I do open his line. And I just think that some of the things he shares are so profound that I think people need to hear them.
Okay. You,
so, I love you too. Thank you. Just say I love you and thank you. Just thank you for what it is. And just say I love you and thank you. I appreciate that.
You know what? In my quantum, you know I was going to brush that off. And just say I'm humble and thank you, but I have to say that I appreciate you and all of those things that you mentioned, but I have to say I will hit one to come on your show. It's just that I like listening to you guys, and so I have a lot of respect for you and your show and what you do, and but thanks for having me on. I'm not upset about it. I was just saying I can't sneak in no way. That's
no,
all I'm
you
saying.
Can't. You can't. You're like that bright red light that comes in the dark room. You can't hide it.
See? And Kathleen, I didn't pay her for that. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
You know, and I want to thank you for joining the program, too, because I didn't open your mic. See, I just shouted you out, and you came on voluntarily.
It didn't matter. I was on mute.
I got to remember to do that. Thanks. Good looking. I'm going to put myself on mute next time I call into either show. All right. We won't disturb you on your lunch. No.
Okay. Well, yeah, the person that's going to lunch just came. But Happy New Year to everyone. You guys enjoy. Be safe. Don't drink and drive.
Happy New Year to you, and have a good lunch. And invite your guest on. No.
Okay.
All
okay.
Right.
All right.
See you later. Kathleen, so
yep.
I'm not sure if you heard about the former TLC, since you played Scrubs on your show, former TLC member T-Boz has a show coming out. It's a reality show. I can't even think of the name of it. It's called Totally T-Boz. It's set to premiere on TLC January 1st. And the Grammy Award-winning artist is giving her fans an up-close look into her life as she focuses on being a single mom of a 12-year-old, and she's relaunching her music career after recovering from a life-threatening brain tumor she was diagnosed with in 2006. She hopes her new show will inspire and educate people on how to overcome sickle cell, leukemia, and other blood disorders. I don't know if you know the story that she had sickle cell.
She has sickle cell? I didn't know that.
Oh, gosh. During TLC, she had bouts while she was on the road when they had really hectic travel schedules. She was kind of bedridden. Sickle cell is just kind of a normal pain all over your body.
Well, you know, I'm really glad about that because, you know, the way it would people would have folks believe sickle cell has gone away, or, you know, it's a disease that no longer impacts people anymore, and it is so prevalent in our community. I have quite a few friends with sickle cell anemia, and I've lost quite a few at very, very young ages with sickle cell. So it's great that she is going to, you know, showcase that and showcase her recovery. I'm really happy for her. That's awesome.
Right, yeah, and it's said that this show will help me bring attention to those things that have substance and matter. So she's kind of feeling like she just wants to contribute, but she battled it for years, and I mean in a bad way. Sickle cell, and
yeah.
Let alone what she's going through now. So,
yeah.
So here's what we can do. We can go to a preview of her show coming up called Totally T-Boz, and it's going to be on, get this, TLC. Didn't that sound funny?
I love it.
From the group TLC, going on TLC. Okay, so this is a preview of Totally T-Boz. On Black on Black Crime. Here we go.
Throughout my whole career, I always had to reinvent myself. Here I am again, having to reinvent myself. So, of course, you know that I'm going where I know I will get a banging beat that is promised to be all that. That's the kind of music I'm looking for, and so that's why I'm going to Bangladesh. Cool! Hey.
What up? How you doing?
Bangladesh, Chandra, that's his birth name. He's family. So I'm taking it back to where I know people have my back. And it's not just about that. He's dope, though.
What you doing?
Chandra has worked with Lil Wayne, Missy Elliott, Beyonce, Nicki Minaj, you name it, he touched it.
So KO told me y'all had a conversation.
Yeah, we had a conversation.
I know, it's a little smart.
Nah,
I mean, if she gonna do something, you know, she gotta get slave or trim and all for light skin.
No,
that's okay though.
Of
why you on downstairs this time?
You was just late now.
I was not.
You
were. Don't act like you always on time, but
I am.
Well, you know I'm not, so don't act like this on me. Ever since you know me.
I have a hard time managing time, like being on time.
Hey, but well, we can call it a fashionably late, right? Right? What do you think about that?
Well, seriously, you know, we always go through this situation.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
It's different, though.
And you say that all the time.
No.
Hey, you always live like
but
that.
I can prove it this time.
You always live like that.
No, I can prove it this time. I got contracts and everything.
We supposed to do this 3 years ago.
So 3 years ago, I was supposed to go into the studio with Bangladesh, Chandra, to lay down tracks for my solo album. But I was recovering from my brain tumor surgery, so I couldn't do it. I couldn't see, hear, walk.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so what the hell took me 3 years to talk to you?
Am I talking crazy?
No, no.
Game, as long as you serious.
Why don't you think I'm serious this time, though?
Because we go through this all the time.
But this is different.
No, it ain't.
Bangladesh, he can command number one hit. So, of course, when he gives me one and I flake and don't come out, I know he's probably like, look, Heffa, I could have gave this to such and such, and she could have or he could have. I get it.
But now, I need him to understand I'm really ready. He spared me. So I really do feel like I'm supposed to share my story or help somebody in some kind of way. And if you do have a God-given gift and it's given back to you, I'd be stupid to be like, oh, F that, and not at least one more ride. I guess I have to prove myself all over again, even if it's to the world. I don't have a problem doing that. If I have to prove myself again, I'll do that. I will do that. I'm ready.
Coming January 1st.
All right. Now, that was totally T-Boz, just a preview. It was a pretty long preview of the show, but it's gonna start up tomorrow. So that and I don't know, what is it, Sisterhood, the Preacher's Wives show? TLC is about to get really crazy, I think. But anyway, so she has a four-show deal on TLC for her reality show. So hopefully that'll go well.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
I hope so, too, because even though, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, God, these reality shows, she actually has a pretty good message surrounding hers. You know, it's the overcoming of, you know, the illnesses that are significant to a particular community, you know, so hopefully it'll bring some learning and so forth. So, you know, I hope it does go well.
Right, and yeah. So do I. I hope she does do well. And so in addition to her show, Totally T-Boz, she is focusing her attention on developing the VH1 biopic about TLC, her group, which is currently in pre-production. T-Boz revealed that there will be a soundtrack for the film featuring some old and new music from the group, which features T-Boz, Rosanda Chili Thomas, and the late Lisa Left Eye Lopez. So that's going to be coming out really soon. So she's working on both. So just want to say good luck on that. But here, my friend, is not the black-on-black crime segment of her interviewing for her show. She went on to say in an interview, she weighed in on the Rihanna Chris Brown stuff that happened. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say stuff that happened. See, that was just me adding on a little extra. She weighed in on Rihanna and Chris Brown, who have been recently criticized for rekindling their romance. Most recently, they made their first public appearance on Christmas Day in the front row, half-court seats of the Lakers-Knicks game. So she said, this is Tiba, said, we all have made mistakes. Nobody's perfect. I can't sit here and be mad at someone that Rihanna is not mad at all. She said, I wish Rihanna the best and hope her and Chris make the best choices. I think it's fortunate that he's been given a second chance. She said, I love Chris Brown. I think you can't take away from me is my talent or my resume. I feel the same way about Chris Brown. You can't take away his great dancing and his talent. He's made mistakes, but regardless, his talent as an artist, he has talent as an artist. And she said, I would love to work with him in the future. Like, that was her saying, I'll extend the olive branch to him. It does not matter. So I'd like her response in that. I know that's not a black-on-black crime, but I'm sure some people may feel like he should be harsh on her or something, or on him.
That she should be harsh on him, you mean?
Yeah, you know how some people feel like, you know, Rihanna's just a victim, so I can't believe that she's going out with him, and they put the burden on Rihanna to kick him to the curb. But what she's saying is, if she forgave him, who am I? I don't know anything about what their relationship is.
And I'm going to go with, you know what, they're going to do what they're going to do anyway. So... I still do understand why people are just backing up a little bit. Initially, you said that they are being criticized for getting back together.
No. That is like in some reports, and some people criticize them and make, you know, comments about it.
Well, making comments about it, yeah, but criticizing Rihanna more than anything else. And saying, you know, why is she going to put herself in that position to go back to him, right? And I think what happens for some of the folks watching, some of the fans, I guess, if they're fans of Rihanna's, they are confused about it because, you know, everybody was jumping to her defense and caring about her. And it's kind of like when you have somebody in a relationship
and one person, you know, the couple splits up or whatever, and everybody runs to one side or the other, then they get mad at the other person, right? They get mad. and then that person goes back to the other party. Everybody's like, well, what the heck? You know, we've been over here trying to defend.
In true fashion of black-on-black crime, I'm going to say this. The trick of the whole thing is people were jumping on Rihanna's side who don't give a rat's about Rihanna, right? They just wanted to dislike Chris. And so some people are just haters like that. And so if their issue is with him for just not liking him, that is their business. If she is over it, get over it. They were young, whatever. That's paying too much attention to somebody else's business. Now, if you have been in a domestic violence situation and you feel some kind of way about it, that's different from expressing an opinion on abuse and all of those things. That comes from a different space. But I think people want to just hold something against them, not because they have an interest of Rihanna, just because they're just haters in that sensible way of hating something, right? They just pick the side and want their side to win at all costs, I guess is what it is. So, on that note, let me go to an internet comment. One says, why do we even care, to my point, what Chris and Rihanna do? It says, hell, if they like it, I love it, is what an internet comment says. And I have another comment. And remember, we won't say your name unless you give us permission to say your name on your comments. Now, one says, I am not fond of all of Chris Brown's actions in parentheses, they said putting all those tattoos appearing to go back and forth between two girls. That was their comment. But I wish him and Rihanna the best, and I'm praying for them. I don't know these people, nor am I getting paid to advocate for either. I just know forgiveness is needed, and we need to stop being so judgmental. No person is free of sin. You might not have done what he or she have done, but you've done something. Sin is sin. And that was another comment. And one other comment says, I love you, T-Boz, is how they said it, the comment. But that's right. Leave Chris and Rihanna alone. It's nobody's business but their own. So just wanted to read those internet comments. But I just thought it was interesting that, you know, she came out and just kind of said, in an affirming way, like black-on-black crime, usually people just go out and criticize other black people just to criticize them. And she's coming out defending them, and she didn't even have to. So I have to give a big ups. And that's why we played so much of her show on this show, is because I actually like T-Boz. I think that was cool.
Cool.
What happened?
I know. I said that's cool.
Oh, yeah, it is cool. And by the way, you know, and I did mention the show The Sisterhood, which is on after T-Boz on TLC. It focused on five diverse Metro Atlanta women who are preachers' wives. As a result, the women say that they're held to higher standards. This means no cursing and, I don't know what this means, and physical violence. Oh, that they can't have physical violence, okay, as seen on other shows. But they do get into verbal fisticuffs, and so that is the premise of that show. That's going to be a mess. I'm not watching that. Call me Spike if you want to.
Okay, go. Now here's where.
Here's where I draw the line. No.
Yeah. Here's what I find interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
In church from the pulpit, I've heard numerous times, I hope you all are not home watching all those reality shows. You know what I mean? Criticizing mm-hmm. reality shows, what kind of time you wasting doing that, and those things are whatever they are. And the recommendation is that folks shouldn't be watching reality shows. Now here we have some preacher's wives.
Wanting to go on reality shows.
Give me some of that money.
You know. And I have to say, attention is attention. There are some people who just want attention, so I can't really call it. But I'm not gonna bash those women. I'm just gonna say I'm not gonna watch it. But I'm sure we'll hear a lot of feedback on it, like we do with Atlanta Housewives or Love and Hip Hop or any of those other shows. There's an audience for mess, and so it shall be.
Yeah, and I have spoken to a couple of producers, right? Some folks that have produced quite a few of the reality shows and submitted them, sold a, quite a few of the reality shows that are on television right now. And a friend of mine actually was being, they did a reel for her to be on one of the reality shows, following her and her family around, and they pitched it, you know, as they do to networks and so on and so forth. So anyway, what he said was, in order for a reality show to be picked up, in order for it to actually make it to the screen and get several shows run or whatever, like T. Bobby said, she's got a contract for four shows or whatever, however they're made up, there's got to be some mess with it. There's got to be some drama. It can't be just your standard every day, you know, this is cool. You know what I mean? There's got to be some stuff that people are going to find interesting enough to watch.
Well, I would think T-Boz, it would be nice to see a success story. So seeing all of the struggles, I'm sure, again, they're bringing in her daughter and her being a mother. And so it might be like Runt's House. Runt's House was actually pretty successful.
An excellent show. But I was talking really about the Preacher's Wife. That's where I was going with it. You know, so they're saying that it's not going to be this and it's not going to be that and it's not going to be this. But it's going to be something. Because if it's several different wives, it's not like with T-Bob, she's got a story, you know, that's compelling already. And just by nature of who she is and what she's doing, what she's accomplished, that is a compelling story. And as was Runt's House.
Right.
But with the Preacher's Wives, that they even name it something that sounds like the Atlanta Housewives. You know
Sisterhood.
What I mean?
Yeah. And here's the thing. And they said the early standout, I'm not going to say her name, well, this was in the press release. So the early standout is Tyra Lewis, whom other cast members dub as Bananas. So they call her names already.
Already.
So they expect her just to be off the rails. So it's going to be another one of those shows.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm expecting that it will be. Now, another one. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, the other one that's coming up that I actually will watch, at least the first couple of shows, is The House Husband. I can't wait to see that.
Oh, but that's a comedy. That's a comedy. That's just going to be funny. That's a scripted comedy, so that's cool.
So Robin Thicke, Nick Cannon, Kevin Hart.
Is that a black on black crime that you mentioned him first? Okay, it's Kevin Hart. No, I'm just joking. All right, whatever to you.
See how
y'all go? See, now, if I would have said they should do one with Vanessa Williams, then y'all, you know, they'd jump on me. So anyway.
I would love to see a show with Vanessa Williams. I can't get enough of Vanessa Williams.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. My bad.
She's
I used the wrong
person. I love, and she would not be, you know, that's a compelling story. I would love to see a reality show with her.
With Vanessa Williams?
Yeah. I mean, I like her a lot, and she's just not crazy. So, you know, I wouldn't expect to see all the kind of madness around her life.
I don't, you know, see, here's the thing with Vanessa, not that I know Nessa and I, but here's the thing. The reason I don't really speak about Vanessa much when we do shows is because we're both a part of the same alumni group, and she actually attends these, they do it every 3 years, but it's an alumni group that is minority and Hispanic, African-American thing, and I very rarely go, and so I always get invited to go, and I know she normally goes, so I try not to put out bad vibes in the air in case I bump into her. So.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, that would be college alumni.
This actually is a very positive vibe. I would love to see her because I love to see her. I think she's, I think she's an incredible actress, incredible, and I just like her energy. I like her vibe. I like everything around her, you know. She's got a family. She's acting in a lot of programs. I can't produce the show right now, come up with something, but I would like to see a lot more of her.
No, well, that's cool. And, you know, as a guy, I'm going to decline to speak from here on out. Now, here's, okay, before we get out of here, I just want to let you know, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. You can check us out Mondays on this network. I don't know what time on Monday, but we will be here on Mondays. And you can check us out on the archives, download us on iTunes, or, you know, you can send us an email at BOBC, Black on Black Crime, at soulofsyracuse.com, or you can contact us through our many, you know, social networks if you would like us to send you a clip of the show or after the show if you want to check us out in a download. So, anyway, just wanted to share that. I have a couple of news extras that I want to kind of run past you because we have some new laws. So I thought, why not put them on Black Crime? We'll probably do them on the news show, some of them. But we have some new laws coming in tomorrow. So since the urgency of it being tomorrow, I want to make sure we let our listeners know. So one of the new laws, if you're in Illinois, I don't know why this is important, but, oh, I'm sorry, shouldn't say that. Well, in Illinois, motorcyclists can proceed through a red light if the light fails to change. I don't know what that means exactly. So what if you run the light and then it changed? Do you get a ticket? But that's the new law. If you're on a motorcycle, you can proceed through a light if it fails to change. I don't know.
The cars have to sit there until they fix the light?
That's what it sounds like. That's why some laws are just so obscure and crazy to me. You have to sit there and, yeah. Okay, you proceed if the light fails to change. And another Illinois law is sex offenders are banned from dressing up like Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, or hand out candy on Halloween. Now, the only reason that this is funny to me is I almost wrote it wrong by saying or hand out Halloween candy, which is different than handing out candy on Halloween. So I just wanted to be clear, you can't hand out Halloween candy. I guess that is no time of year. All right.
Oh, that's
so,
what it is they can't hand out Halloween candy, not that they can't hand out candy on Halloween.
Right. So if they hand it out on Halloween, they're wrong. If they hand it out on New Year's, they're wrong.
Christmas, they're wrong. Okay.
Any kind of Halloween candy. Isn't that clever in the way it wrote that law? Because if you,
lawyers,
you can't do it.
We got it covered. We got it covered, though.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Telling.
That's what I said. I almost said it wrong, so it was cool to be able to go back and correct that to say, no, no.
I love it. You know
Halloween
I love
candy.
That.
Don't matter when you hand it out.
All
right. So a new law for Maryland, New Jersey, and Delaware. Do you know it's illegal for your employer to require or request your social media passwords?
Say that again.
If your employer cannot require or request social media passwords for your Facebook or whomever, you just can't request them in Maryland, New Jersey, or Delaware. That is the law from now on.
Well, thank goodness.
I thought it was wrong to begin with, but it
yeah.
just seems kind of, right? It seems kind of intrusive.
Really,
it seems kind of intrusive, but that's that kind of, you know, free space thing working in open air. If you do it in public, everybody has a right to see. It's that nonsense.
Yeah, I think it's powerful. I'm glad they did that. They should make it nationwide.
You know what? Actually, it should make it nationwide. That should be a national law. If, you know, and they already put it in a law that bill collectors or people in collections cannot friend you on social media just to find out your information. Because they were requesting friendships of your friends just to see your
yeah.
information.
Yeah. So they
made
that, is that national that they can't do that, or is that just
something? Oh, that's national. That's
thank
a federal
God.
Law. You can't do that. And Woo-hoo. We want to say thank you again to the president. Thanks again for signing that into law. And, oh, by the way, you know, if you're trying to cash in on the holiday season and want to fly to New York from, like, Boston or anywhere near New Hampshire, there's a $12 flight just for today going from New Hampshire to New York City or Boston. They're trying to get a $1 million grant for a community airport.
Can you get back home?
You know, it didn't say. But I know they have to have 10,000 people take the airline.
Oh,
So maybe they might.
Cool.
Yeah, just to get a grant. So they're trying that in New Hampshire today and only today. All right, so we share. All right, thanks for hanging out, Commish.
Oh, sure, anytime. Happy New Year to you.
And Happy New Year. I'm sure we'll do a New Year show and we'll get a chance to cut up.
That'd be fun.
All right. So I want to thank you. There you go. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in. You're listening to the Black on Black Crime. For Kathleen, for Kai, I'm Jerome. Have a good New Year, and we'll see you next week, Mondays. All right. See you next week.